everybody. Welcome to But What Do We Know podcast episode 129. I'm Marissa.
And I'm Anna.
And we have a special guest tonight.
Yes.
But we're not gonna introduce her yet. She's a surprise.
Tempting.
A surprise. What's up?
Not much. What's up with you?
Nothing. We're in a different setting tonight.
How's your Valentine's Day?
Well, Kaylin's here, so romantic. we didn't introduce her yet. But
you seem like a Valentine's Day person.
I love pink things and hearts, yeah. So I do.
Yeah.
I do like Valentine's Day.
I was like, does Marissa do Valentine's Day? I was like, of course she does Valentine's Day. It feels like her jam.
I do love it. Do you?
No. Absolutely not.
You're like, I don't do any fucking holiday.
I think me and Eric said 4 words to each other today, so.
Kill yourself now. I guess we should just introduce Kaylin.
Okay.
I would love to join in at any point in time. Kaylin, how was your Valentine's Day?
Yeah. Hi. So, Kaylin, we're going to introduce you.
Thanks.
As Andy's dog trainer, number one. Lover of things green, number two. And I don't know, number
and
three.
And our guest for this episode, our guest number three.
Wait, what else do you think of me?
Oh, I was going to say a friend.
Oh my gosh.
Number three, a friend.
That's so nice.
I don't know.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself and what brought you here today.
Sure. So my favorite color is green, and I am Andy's dog trainer. Andy is a wonderful dog, I will say, first and foremost.
Was he a wonderful dog when you first started training him?
Actually, yeah.
She's being nice.
No, we had a lot of fun, first of all. We had a lot of fun. Andy's a lot of fun, and Cliff and Marissa didn't have the great first, the best first impression.
She thought we were crazy, and we were scared of her, so.
Well.
They showed up 35 minutes. They showed up 35 minutes early for their first appointment. At least 35 minutes. I think it was like 3:20.
It probably was.
And it was like.
Very punctual.
And I was like, you gotta be fucking kidding me. I was like, these people are, and I was like, great, good.
Good.
And then we had a great time. I did kind of lay into you guys a little bit. By accident.
Yeah, we told her that Andy puts, when we take Andy out to go for a walk, he puts the leash in his mouth, which he's done since he was a puppy, and we've encouraged it because it's adorable. You can't even tell me it's not. Like, he doesn't do it anymore, but I've never had anyone look so mad at me in my life. I was scared. And as soon as we got home, Andy went to do it. We took him out. We're like, no, get that out of your mouth.
I looked them dead in the face and I said,
no.
I said, rip that shit out of his mouth. and I think now, looking back at it, I would change my response a little bit. Not by much, though.
No, I mean, it worked. Yeah,
because draw some boundaries. But now that I know Andy a little bit better, like, literally everything this dog has in him is jovial.
Yes.
He's a little Christmas dog.
Yeah.
He's a Christmas dog.
Yeah.
Even when Andy bruised my bone, it was all in good fun and joyous.
Andy did bruise Anna's bone. Now, Anna very delicate bones.
Okay, but which one?
On my knee. Bone.
So your patella?
Like, yeah, he like was excited to see me, and so he ran to me, but ran into me.
And she didn't tell us until like a year later that she had a bruise on her bone. And I was like... What?
I was like, he was just excited. It's fine. I didn't want to tell you.
So nice.
You're like, oh, I just had to get amputated. It's not a big deal.
That's so nice.
He really loves his Aunt Annie.
Yes. Yeah. So that's pretty much all I am at this point in my life is a dog trainer. I have nothing else. But
that's not true.
That's beautiful.
But that's cool, though.
I have dogs. I don't have free time. I think that's, I don't have free time.
It's, wait, what kind of dogs do you have?
I have a,
oh, they're the best. They're so cute.
They're really nice dogs. I have a 12-year-old Australian cattle dog. His name is Diesel.
He's
the light of my life. He changed my whole world.
Angel.
Yeah, he's perfect. And then I have John Cusack, who is a 5-year-old Catahoula leopard dog mix. And then, ooh, I have Quinley.
Oh, she's so cute.
She's 3 years old. She's like a 25-pound pit bull.
Oh,
she's adorable.
She's jacked out of
and
her
also
mind.
Scary at the same time.
She'll kill a grown man.
Yeah, she's scary and cute.
Bad adorable bitch. Adorable, but nobody can touch her.
She does. She did hide under Andy though.
Really?
We went for a hike and she was literally, because she's so small, she hid under Andy because there were like gunshot noises in the background. Yeah. And Andy's just like, oh, whatever, go ahead.
Andy was really good on our hike.
He's like a boy.
Oh,
he's
really boy.
But yeah, everybody had a nice time.
We had a great time.
Yeah.
Adorable.
But have you ever been on a podcast before?
This is my first time on a podcast.
Welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited you guys are giving me my big break.
The debut. Well, she's coming back to co-host, so I
nice.
Hope. In May, I think, when Anna's right. She's birthed a child.
Yeah.
Once this child is out of me.
In the meantime, I'm just dipping my toes in the water.
Yeah, you gotta practice.
Yeah.
It's not that
bad. I mean, we don't know what we're doing 129 episodes in, so no pressure.
No. Yeah. No.
Oh, and he plopped.
He did.
Anna, how is little baby?
Little baby's fine. He's 5 pounds, 4 ounces. And he is crushing all of my organs, mm-hmm. So that's fun. The other day I was in so much pain just because it's just like this weird pressure because all your organs are being crushed. And so, it's like a 5-pound, like, tumor just sitting in your body. And, I was, like, in so much pain, and Eric's like, well, what did doctors tell you to do to, like, relieve the pain? Like, there's got to be something. And I was like, yeah, to get this baby out of me. Like, there's nothing else for me to do. I just got to deal with it. And I was like, they'll never get it. The men and will never understand bodily pain of a woman.
Never.
But other than that, baby's fine. I guess I can't complain too much. I guess I did sign up for this, so.
I mean, you kind of did.
I did, so I shouldn't complain. It's fine. But other than that, he's fine, I guess. I don't know. Wait till he's here. I'm the worst pregnant person ever.
Fine.
I feel like such a fucking like idiot. Like I see
You're
all these
not.
I see all these like TikToks of like, oh, I love my little baby, and I'm like, oh, you guys are fucking weird. Like I don't understand.
Yeah, first of all, get a grip. It's not even like born yet.
Like but... I saw on TikTok today like this influencer who's pregnant and like and of course on fucking Valentine's Day and her husband is like kissing her belly and she, my two valentines, and I'm like, I'm gonna throw the fuck
my
up.
Two valentines, it's like an embryo.
Yeah, dude, have you had any anybody walk up to you and like go to touch your stomach?
No, thankfully, because I'm I think shocked. People know that I cannot handle that, so I think they know not to touch me.
Do you ever go outside anywhere?
No, I just go to work.
Oh, okay.
Even, like, when my mom and my grandma try to touch my belly, I, like, take a step back. I'm like, don't touch me. I don't like it.
And honestly, your mom and grandma scare me. Well, your mom not so much, but your grandma scare. So, Anna was born in the Ukraine, so her whole, like,
I've never been afraid family, of somebody's grandmother.
Her grandma scares the shit out of me. She's like, I don't know what it was, but when I was at her baby shower, I was like, her mom, angel, literal angel on earth. Would die for her 20 times. Her grandma, I'm sure also an angel, but like she really scared me.
She's
will
pretty...
die for her 20 times, but by her
but,
hand.
But yes. Yeah.
She can be pretty scary.
That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, they're all kind of nuts. Yeah, but thankfully no one has...
They're the best.
No one has tried to touch me unprovoked, and when they do, I just take a step back. I'm like, please, Mom and Grandma, don't touch my belly.
Stop touching me.
Yeah, dude, you gotta advocate for yourself, dog.
I hate it. Oh,
always. You love it.
But that's it. That's it for me. How are you doing?
Which one?
Both? I don't know. Whoever wants to go first.
I mean, I'm good. Nothing's really changed for me.
Great.
same old for me. Yeah, no, nothing. I got nothing this week.
Oh, I was going to ask you, did Cliff actually like the Super Bowl halftime show?
He did. Yeah, he loved it.
Okay, because I saw his Facebook post and I was like, I can't tell if Cliff's being sarcastic or if he genuinely liked the halftime show.
No, he loved it. I actually really liked it too. Did you watch it?
Mm-hmm.
Are you like a football person?
Yeah, the day before yesterday is when I got the stress hives. So, because I had a lot of stuff to do, and I was like planning on going up to my friend's house to watch the Super Bowl, and then everything is a lot. Well, no.
Are you going to tell us about this in the brink of tears?
Yeah, we can go right into it if you want.
Yeah.
Yeah, hell yeah, let's do it. So tell me why do you cry? Tell me why do you cry? What pushed you to the brink? In your car or by the kitchen sink? Tell me why.
I didn't cry though.
But it's a brink
of
tears.
Did you almost cry?
If you almost cried.
Yeah, we can talk about it. Not quite, but we can talk about it.
We can talk about it. So, what happened?
So I was in Cabela's.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty busy in there. Just a little bit of sensory overload. And I was just trying to just, like, hustle and get everything done. Like, I've always, like, felt stressed for, like, things, like, down the line. But now with just this job, I'm, like, stressed with every minute of every day of, like, managing every minute. Because there's literally not enough time in the day for me to do my job and do everything that I need to do. And then, like, all the stuff for my dogs, the dogs I'm training. And then I have my lessons. And I have to drive places, too. And drive time is crazy. Getting in the shower, crazy.
Too much.
It's too much.
It's too much.
So I'm, like, feeling like... I'm just like racing against the clock for like the last couple of days, and yeah, so I just got like some hives on me at Cabela's, and I told my friend, I was like, I don't know what's going on, like I didn't touch any different dogs, like, you know, like gang's all good, and she was like, yeah dude, stress hives, and I was like, what? And that's pretty much it, but like otherwise I'm just like hustling, so like I didn't really feel the urge to cry. As we were talking about, I'm very emotionally detached.
Yeah, I think when you're very busy, too, it's harder to, like, take that moment to cry.
You're, like, in survival mode.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's hard to, like, until you actually, like, sit down and then you're, like, I always need a trigger. Like, I need, like, something sad that doesn't have to do with my life to get me rolling. Like, something that I see that makes me cry. Like, and then I think of everything that's ever made me sad in my life. You know what I mean? Like, I need something like that.
The emotional side of my brain provoked this thought, actually, on my drive over here, of when I was in fourth grade and all my friends said they didn't want to be my friend anymore because I didn't want to play a game that they wanted to play. Yeah. And that was just on the drive over here. And then I was like, is this my brink of tears? And then I was like, no, dude, because it's all good.
Yeah, it's fine. We're fine.
That's
all. People didn't want to play with us either, so...
It's either all good or it's not all good, and if it's not all good, then I'm out, but, like, otherwise it's all good. So, like, those are, like, my two emotions.
I think that's very fair.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anna, I know you cried.
Yeah, I mean, I cry all the time, but I can't relate to Caitlin because I am always in cry mode, so I'm never in survival mode. I just let it all cry all
the time. You're constantly grieving for your lived life.
This isn't my brink of tears, but a couple weeks ago, I was just, like, very emotional, and I had, like, it's like 7 meetings at work that day, and I like would cry, and I'm like, okay, I gotta go on to this meeting and just like pat my eyes dry and like hop into a meeting. But I can turn it on and off like that, I guess. But my brink of tears this last like 2 weeks, I don't know if it's because I'm getting ready for this child to be here, but I've been like cuddling with Oz, my cat, my black cat, Caitlin, and we would just be cuddling on the couch or on the bed, and I just, like, stare at him, and I start crying, because I'm, like, Oz is, like, my baby, like, he's the younger cat, and we got him when he was too young, like, he probably shouldn't have been taken away from his mother too young, and Alyssa brought him home, so, like, I didn't even have anything to do with it. He just showed up at our apartment one day, and we got him during a very, like, low point in my life, and then we got him, and then he stayed with us, and then when we all dispersed from our apartment, he came with me, obviously, and I stare at him, and I'm like, Oz, you're not gonna be the baby anymore, because I've seen people who have pets, and then they have a child, and they completely disregard their animal.
That breaks my heart.
It makes me so sick. And I'm like, that's not happening to Oz and Goose. Like, there's no way they're my first babies. But I've seen it happen. And I told Eric, I'm like, what if that happens? Like, subconsciously, I ignored the cats. He's like, there's no way you're going to ignore the cats. You're too emotionally invested in these animals. He's like, it's just going to be different dynamics. I'm like, I can't. But Oswald's going to be so upset if I have the baby and I care more about the baby. He's like, Anna, you're going to care differently about the baby. I was like, okay, I just need that reassurance. So me and Oz just lay on the couch together and I stare at him and I cry at him and he just stares at me.
He's like, Mama.
Mama, please, why you cry?
Don't
cry, Mama. Here, have my paws. Wipe your eyes.
Poor little babe.
I understand that, though, for sure. I look at my dogs and think about what it's going to be like when they die, and I get really upset.
Oh, I think about that all the time.
I do that a lot. Yeah.
I've still been crying over that dog on TikTok. Do you watch TikTok?
I don't.
Oh, God damn it. That dog, Athena. I'm an adult. I think I'm older than you, so I am also. Anna's the oldest one. Anna, you're almost actually 31.
I am almost 31.
Oh my God.
Congratulations.
And literally 1 month, I'll be 31.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. There's this TikTok of this girl, and she had this dog, and the dog's name was Athena. And she found out, like, the dog's, like, the only person that she had in her life. And when the dog was diagnosed with cancer, she's like, oh my God, no, this is not the brink of tears I wanted to talk about. It's something worse. I actually cried at a diner the other day.
Okay. All right. Can we circle back to Athena, though, later?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so Athena, basically, they took her on, this girl took Athena on this trip around the country to see every great, like, national wonder and monument in the entire country. And then, like, a couple weeks ago, she passed away. And when I tell you that I was crying on the toilet, that to the point where Andy had to come over, I'm sitting on the toilet, like, pants down, and I'm crying so hard. And Andy just came over and he licked my tears. And he was, like, looking at me very concerned, which made me cry more. It's too much. But so I cried at the diner the other day at breakfast because Cliff asked me to describe the plot of that movie Kit Bull. Have you ever seen that, the Pixar movie?
No.
I can't even describe it. It makes me so upset. It's about this pit bull and they use him for fighting. And
oh, maybe I did see it.
He makes friends with this little cat.
And yes!
I'm explaining the story and I just start crying at the diner and he's like, stop it. Why are you crying? It's the most
Which diner ever. Were you?
The Whitehall Diner.
Okay.
It was devastated.
I can't even tell you how many Disney shorts have made me cry.
Is it a short or is it a whole?
It's a short.
Okay.
Thank God. If it was a whole movie, I would have.
Dude, sometimes the Disney shorts are a lot worse than the movies. Like, those, like, rip my heart out of my chest.
Don't watch this one.
You know why I think, seen it, like, don't. It's
really?
So.
No, I'm really.
I think the shorts get me because in a movie you have time to, like, evolve into your feelings.
Yeah.
But the shorts, they just, like, fucking hit you in, like, a 7-minute span and it all just comes right at you.
What gets me, I think, a lot of the times is the fact that, like, a lot of the characters are nondescript, so, like, and they don't speak, and they don't, so they can be anybody that you place, like, you can project onto those characters very easily, and that's, I think, where they get you.
Yeah. Mm-mm. And this one, nobody says one fucking word during the whole thing.
Oh my God.
It has a happy ending, thank God. But I was crying so hard at the diner. I just wanted to eat my French toast. So that was my brink of tears. But
I love a brink of tears that happens in public.
Yeah, me too. I do like to cry in public. It's cathartic.
I have no shame crying in public.
Yeah.
Caitlin's like, I've never cried in public in my life.
I haven't cried in the last 6 years.
You should try.
No, dude, I'm kidding.
You should try. It's very nice.
I cry probably, like, at this point once every 6 months, and it's usually right before, like, when I finally break down and cry. And it's usually, like, right before I have, like, a scheduled vacation, because I know when I'm going to reach my breaking point. And, like, I usually reach my breaking point right before I go on vacation. But that's good, because, like, I'd rather not dance around it. You know, I'd rather break down and be like, okay, you know.
Did your parents like to say before vacations that they were going to cancel the vacation?
No, that's sick, actually.
My parents used to say that, and that's part of it. My dad did. He'd get really overwhelmed, and he'd go, it's canceled. We're not going. So now I have anxiety about going on vacation. And, like, my dad's a wonderful person, but he's like... But so now I think with these weird things, like, my teeth are going to fall. I'm fucking crazy. Oh. This is like...
Oh, do you guys want to talk about nightmares?
We could talk about nightmares.
I mean, we don't have to. I haven't really had
any. No, we could definitely.
Okay, do you have any?
No, tell.
I haven't had one in a long time. Tell. You said teeth falling out, and I...
Do you have dreams about that?
Yeah.
See, I don't.
Me either.
Mm-mm. Oh, then why'd you bring it up? But I've
heard that people do. No, I think that my teeth are actually going to fall out. Like,
on vacation.
I have on vacation.
Oh.
Like, if I'm going somewhere fun, I think of the worst thing that could happen, and occasionally that is my teeth all falling out.
Okay.
On vacation. You can't try the new foods.
There's, Russian superstition that if you're going on vacation, or, like, the whole household is going somewhere together for a prolonged period of time, so, like, a vacation, that you're all, before you leave the house, like, everything's packed, everything's in the car ready to go, you all have to go back into the house and sit down together for a minute in silence, and that's supposed to bring, like, good luck and, like, safety for your vacation. So, maybe do that.
But what happens when something you do that and then something unsafe happens anyway? Like,
well, you didn't do it right then. You didn't do it the full moment. I don't know.
You're not Russian.
I'm sorry, my bad. No, that was a stupid question.
Well, wait, so what do you have a nightmare about? What do you have nightmares about?
You know, I had this recurring nightmare as a kid. This is always the first one that comes to mind. I have really, like, messed up nightmares, and I used to, like, accidentally, like, lucid dream as a kid too. So here's the thing, and tell me if I'm wrong or if I'm crazy, but nobody told me that you had to close your eyes to fall asleep.
See,
some people sleep with their eyes open,
but I knew that I didn't. So I would lay awake in the, like, in the, well, sort of in the dark. I was afraid of the dark. So I had a nightlight, and the hallway light was on, and I had to have the door, like, all the way open. My mom would, like, have me, like, close it so it's slightly ajar, and then I would just open it again anyway. But I would just lay there with my eyes open, waiting to fall asleep. So then, like, I would get tired and stuff, and I'm still, like, waiting, but your eyes are open. And then I would, like, start having these weird dreams of, like, Sesame Street characters, like, coming out of my closet and, like, all parading, like down the stairs and stuff.
That's terrifying.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so like I told my mom this. I was like, I didn't know I was supposed to close my eyes.
No one told me.
And she was like, I didn't know I had to tell you. and I just didn't think, you know. But
it was, I get that though. There's some things you just don't know. Like, but did you sleep with your eyes closed when you were a baby? You had to have, right?
That's not a question I can answer.
We're going to have to call your mom right now.
She's fun.
Does she want to co-host? You don't have to answer that question. I'm just saying.
I'll get back to you.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's wild.
Mm-hmm.
I never even thought of that.
Yeah,
but I wonder, like,
did you Marissa ever have like recurring dreams? I don't know if we talked about this.
Yeah, I had a dream once that I had a recurring nightmare. No, this sounds like I'm being silly, but I'm not. Like, I was probably like 11 or 12, and that I murdered every member of my family on a different night. And I swear, and I told my mom this, and she was like, what? And I'm like, and then, but this is the best part about this dream. One night, it wasn't someone in my family. It was Josh Groban. I don't know why. And I told my mom this, and she's like, oh, my God. Still not, wasn't in therapy at that point.
But. I was going to say, of all people, you got to break this news down to Barb. But she probably lost her mind.
Oh, my God.
She's probably like, not Josh Groban, my angel of music. Yeah, that's my, the only one I've ever had recurring is that. What about you, Anna?
I had one recurring dream that sticks out, and it started happening when I was probably like 4 or 5-ish years old, and it would happen for like years. Not every night, but like it would just be a dream that would come up every once in a while, and it was like so bizarre. I was like a little kid and wearing this blue dress that I had that had like little daisies on it, and I was walking through a field and picking up dandelions, like, walking through the field.
So
but, like, oh, in the distance...
True.
In the distance was my uncle, who... You,
hot no, uncle?
Did you see him at the shower?
Yeah, still you, hot.
Got a lot of gray hair.
Silver and better, yeah.
He was, like, off in the distance, and he was working at, like, a mechanic or a garage shop, and he was... He had, like, some kind of, like... machinery up on a lift, but it wasn't a car, just like a big black machinery thing. And I'm like picking up dandelions, and he shouts at me that the machine is gonna drop.
Oh.
And yelling at me, and like that's where the dream cuts off. But there would be, it was just like a feeling of ominous in the dream. Like I didn't kill anyone, I didn't kill Josh Groban, but it would just be a recurring dream of this, like, ominous feeling this machinery is going to come fall and kill me and my uncle.
I think that's worse, that feeling of being scared. At least I just...
Yeah, with no actual, like, visual disclosure, like, you're left to guess.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's probably around the time, too, I had the dream when I was sleepwalking, too. So maybe it all just really bad sleeping patterns in my childhood.
Has that since resolved?
Yes, I haven't sleptwalked since I was... in high school or maybe the beginning of college, and I also haven't had that dream in a long time, so.
Oh, congratulations.
You know Thank that you. Now if you have a baby, well, you are having a baby, not if you have a baby, there's a very good chance that your baby will sleepwalk.
Oh, I didn't even think
It's genetic?
It, yeah, my dad was a chronic sleepwalker and sleep talker, and I still sleepwalk and sleep talk.
You sleepwalk?
I don't sleepwalk a lot, but I sleep talk a lot, but okay. Sleepwalking is like, occasionally I do.
How dangerous, if you guys have ever slept walk, what's the most dangerous situation you've ever found yourself in sleepwalking?
Mine wasn't dangerous. Like when I was a kid, I would just like go to like the kitchen or go to the bathroom and not realize where I was going. The last time I sleepwalked that I know that I sleepwalked, I woke up at like 3 or 4 in the morning and went to just go take a shower, and I woke up in the shower. So I guess that could have been dangerous if the water was too hot.
Dangerous.
But, or I slept, yeah. But That was the craziest thing. I didn't, like, drive my car was too hot, or anything. You
burn. I don't think it gets to, like, 212 degrees Fahrenheit. It's like...
It's just burning.
But that's my fear, is if I... Because sleepwalking as an adult, I assume, is a lot more dangerous than as a child. So my fear now is if my sleepwalking kicks back in, I'm going to, like, start driving my car around while I'm sleepwalking or something. That's my biggest fear.
Well, now there's that case with that guy that murdered that that girl that we did.
Yeah.
Have you watched that documentary? It's called Dead Asleep. It's on Hulu.
Ooh.
It's about a guy who says that when he murdered her, this girl, that he was sleepwalking.
I think I saw, like...
We did an episode on it, okay, too. So, which, you know what? A little controversial, our episode.
Really?
A little controversial.
Caused some waves.
Literally no one said anything about it. Or at all.
It was people like, I don't agree, or I disagree, and that was it.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's wrong. And I'm like, ooh,
wow.
Woo.
Yeah.
Getting spicy here.
Yeah.
But.
I'm hoping I can rock the boat a little bit.
Good.
No, I probably.
Oh, well, you can.
Well, let's get into it. So, Caitlin, yeah, you're doing a case tonight, right? You have a story for us?
I do, yeah. I was trying to stick with something Valentine's Day related.
Because it's Valentine's,
yeah, happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. This is really great. I'm just happy to be here with Andy.
He just immediately stopped and stared. Stopped like, oh,
no.
I think he goes to sleep.
He's not sleeping.
Is he on his sleep best behavior because Caitlin's there?
Yes.
Yes, he actually is. I was saying that to Cliff. I'm like, maybe he won't be so licky and in the... But yeah, no, he totally is.
Really?
He did act a fool when you came to the door, but then as soon as he saw that it was you, he was
I went running to the door.
Yeah, he was like...
All this training,
literally,
like,
trembled. He was so excited. He was like...
I was also, like, kind of not just running, but, like, jumping around, like, side to side as I was running. Like, I was, like, making, like, large diagonal leaps, going,
like,
up the stairs.
Enthralled.
Yeah, same.
Aww.
He was enthralled.
Feelings were mutual.
Yeah, he's literally perfect.
He's hiding in the couch.
All right, guys, so I'm going to take you back to February 14th, 2014.
Ooh.
We're going to find ourselves in Houston, Texas. In a southeast neighborhood of Houston, Texas. This is a case of Antonio Saldivar.
I've never heard of this one.
Yes.
Yeah, and there's not a lot of information on it. So pulling from as many resources as I could find, which aren't that many, I'll run through it with you guys. Yeah.
Lay it on us.
So Antonio was 17 years old. He was a high school junior. On Valentine's Day, he asked his mom if he could borrow her car, which was a Hyundai sedan, in case you're wondering. Probably
a good old Hyundai.
Yeah, I'm gonna say either like a Sonata or an Elantra.
Oh, I had an Elantra.
I have been
the hatchback.
Yeah, my transmission fell apart on the road, and
I'll
that was
bet
the
it
that
did.
Car.
Gosh, yeah. Darn it.
Yeah, I mean, Hyundai's come a long way. Like, in the last decade or so, they've made
so I've heard
better vehicles. Yeah.
My car did not do well, my Hyundai.
No?
No, it's currently in a parking lot over across the street.
I'll tell you what, I have a Jeep, so it sucks.
I also have a Jeep.
I know.
That also sucks.
Yeah.
So, scared. Just all cars suck. Yeah.
Yeah,
cars just suck. I love my Subaru.
I do love my Subaru. Mm.
Yeah, I love Subaru.
I love all Subaru.
Yes. It just didn't fit, like, all my dogs, so that was the only problem
Makes
I had
sense.
With it. That's why I had to get a Jeep.
True.
Yeah. So, Antonio, you know, his mom's like, yeah, sure, you can borrow my Hyundai sedan. And he leaves home around 6 o'clock with a teddy bear, a stuffed teddy bear. And some sources say that he had a watch with him as well.
How old is he?
He's 17 years old.
He had a teddy bear?
And a watch. As a gift for his girlfriend.
Oh, okay, because it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
I thought, like...
Sorry, I was setting the scene, not the implications, but yeah.
No, I wasn't using my skills, my...
That's okay.
Listening skills.
Comprehension.
Like, yeah, that's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm here for you. Yeah, so he's going to give this to, you know, to the girl, whatever. And a watch, apparently. I don't know what kind of watch. I feel like that would be important, but yeah, some sources say he was going with a watch as well. So he had a curfew any night that he went out. He was supposed to be back by a certain time. I'm not sure what that time was, but he did not make that curfew.
Oh, no.
So his mom is calling and texting him repeatedly, and he didn't respond to her. I'm not sure if he called her back or if he finally answered a call around 4 a.m. Yeah, so 4 a.m., and I have a quote here. As Antonio's mother recalled, "I said, 'Where are you? You know you're in trouble.' And he goes, 'Yeah, I know. I'm grounded, but I will be there. I'm coming. I'm on my way.'" End quote.
Oh. Casual.
Yeah, that seems like a normal thing to say, though, kind of. You know,
if
what I mean?
Was
like,
17
not, like...
years old and not home by curfew, and my mom called me at 4 in the morning, like, it would not be a casual conversation.
Good point.
My parents are very strict, though.
Yeah, I mean, you're Russian and we're talking about Texas.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Yeah.
Andy, I would love to know what's in your mouth.
Nothing. Leave him alone. Like,
nothing in my mouth. I didn't do anything. Sorry.
I already ate it. I ate it. Yeah, so I guess that was it. Shortly after this call, his mother attempted to get a hold of him again. I'm not sure how shortly after, but it went straight to voicemail. About an hour later, estimated like 4:50 a.m., there was a call that came in from a tow truck that was on the road to the local police reporting an accident, which was Antonio's mother's Hyundai sedan crashed into a telephone pole, allegedly totaled. So it was like a concrete pillar, if you will, and no one was in sight. So nobody's there. Upon further investigation, they looked, you know, they're searching the vehicle. Don't know if it was locked or unlocked. Probably unlocked. There's a lot of really specific questions that I have that are not able to be answered. And I was wondering, do you guys run into this a lot when you're looking at cases?
Yes. So this was just a thing we talked about with the one with the car. There was one that I just did with a car where, like, one source said all the car doors were open. But then we were like, okay, is it open or is it unlocked? Like, that's a very different thing. And I couldn't find anything. So yeah, I feel like there's like a lot of that.
I feel like that happens a lot when we're doing cases that are not well known, because there's not a lot of information to find. So
yeah. And this is kind of like that. Like, this isn't a really well known or well reported case. And I think it's a load of barnacles, because like, there's a lot in here that should be like looked into further. Mm-hmm. So when the car's being searched, they find Antonio's shoes on the passenger side on the floor underneath the seat. So at some point he took his shoes off and put them there.
And it's not like he just took them off and left them there, like to put them under your seat.
Yeah, very under the like passenger very, like... side seat. He was in the driver's side.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
Yeah. So the crash was estimated to be about like 4:30 a.m. shortly after he hung up the phone with his mom. So he was deemed missing, I think, either early that morning or the next day. So they're looking for him and everything, going through like the whole thing, posting flyers. And about 2 weeks later, an employee from Texas Port Recycling Scrap Metal Plant in Houston, found his body in the water between two barges, partially underneath a dock, which is in an inaccessible area of like the Houston port channel or Houston ship channel. Yeah, so where his body was found was, one source said it was a mile from the crash site. All the other sources I found said 2 miles from the crash site. So 2 miles away. And the Houston police, they were, of course, called in, but they, the body was difficult to get to, so they had to call in a dive team into this inaccessible area. It was restricted, like security access. All right. So, autopsy claimed that while it wasn't, they weren't able to determine all of, what is it, I wrote? The exact manner of death was undetermined by the autopsy. However, they do believe that the primary cause was drowning, accidental drowning. So, leading, you know, people were led to think that he had wandered off. He became disoriented after the accident, and he wandered off, and he fell and drowned.
I hate that.
It gets better. I hate that. It gets, I do hate that too. I hate that too because it's silly. Like, why are his shoes underneath?
Nobody just walks around.
And the area is inaccessible. Like,
yeah. And it was like he hit a concrete pillar. So, like, he probably got, you know, whiplash, sure. But, like, you know, not like the car flipped.
You don't slip and fall into an inaccessible area between two barges under concrete. Like, you're like, that's just not a thing that you do.
Agreed. Agreed. So, do you hear Andy breathing? Yeah.
Maybe that's what the feedback's been this whole time.
Aww.
Wait.
You can see it a little bit on the thing. Anna, you're going to love this when you come back and edit.
This is so great. All right, so when his body was discovered along with his body was the teddy bear, which was found stuffed in his pants. Like, apparently stuffed in the crotch between his legs.
Oh, I don't...
Which, what kind of pants was he wearing? How was it that it was in his crotch, found in the crotch, it was in the crotch of his pants between his legs?
How big was the teddy bear?
How big are the pants? Are they like...
Yeah.
Like, not that they were skinny or anything, but like to be in the crotch and also between his legs. Like, how low were the pants sitting? Apparently he was wearing khakis.
Khakis?
Khaki shorts, probably. Or maybe not. It's February in Texas.
It might be.
Wearing khakis for a proper date.
If somebody showed up to khakis on a date with me, I would tell them, turn around, I'd throw them in the river.
Yeah, he's 17, but he was also wearing a purple leopard print hoodie with a black muscle tee underneath it. So I don't know about dressing properly. What a weird get up, okay.
Honestly, yeah, I'd push him in there into an unrestricted area if he showed up with that outfit.
Yeah, so the girlfriend, like, they never really talked about her. All that she's mentioned... The only times that she's mentioned is that he was going to go there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as anybody can tell, and is the only thing is that has been disclosed is as far as Antonio's family can tell, he never went to the girlfriend's house.
Never made it there, yeah.
Yeah. The girlfriend's never interviewed. I don't know if it's because she's a minor and, like, you know.
True. Mm-hmm.
She has no representation, though, in this at all.
That's weird.
Yeah. So, yeah, the teddy bear is in the crotch of his pants between his legs in his khakis. There was one witness that came forward saying that they claimed and made a police statement that they saw a dark-colored SUV force Antonio's car off the road and into this concrete pillar. Mm-hmm. But I also couldn't find any images of the accident.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I saw one that had the front end. The only one that was there, it was the front end of the car that was against the concrete pillar, but you couldn't see, like, the back of the car, like, if there was any side damage. Right. And, like, yo, how can your girl get her hands on autopsy reports? Because that's what I'm really looking for.
And they're hard sometimes.
It's not easy.
I think, like certain ones, like, especially, I think, probably for, like, minors, they make sure that they're not released to the public. Like, the family doesn't want the information released.
Oh, yeah. And if it's unsolved too, is this one solved?
Mm-hmm. It is, but Not rightfully so.
Plus, fucking people, when they do the autopsies, they always do it wrong. Almost in every case, I feel like they're like, "Oh, it's undetermined," and then it turns to drowning. Am I a mortician? Actually, Caitlin, I've been reading this book. Incidentally, right here about corpses.
Okay.
All right. I feel very qualified, but not really. But
mind if I flip through?
It's pretty boring, honestly. It's not that good of a book.
It says oddly compelling, often hilarious.
It's not funny.
No. Lies.
It's not funny. But just through doing this so much, I feel like they change their mind so many times about what actually is going on. They're like, "Oh, well, it is undetermined," or they blunt force trauma or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think.
Well, I think undetermined is better than making a determination when you're not
true,
sure.
True.
You know, I would. I don't know what it's like to. What is that? A forensic?
That would be the
medical examiner.
Yeah.
Medical examiner? Okay, forensic medical examiner? Well, that probably wouldn't do a very good job. If you showed me a dead body and I saw like a couple of like traumas, lacerations, whatever, I'd be like, I don't know, murder. Dude. Yeah. I'd be like, it definitely struggled. It's like there was definitely struggle.
See, I never know what to believe in an autopsy because the way I think about it is the medical examiner is like the county, usually medical examiner. So they're in it with the police. But then if the family wants to get like a private autopsy done, well, that person is being paid by the family. So maybe they're going to say what the family wants to hear. So I just never know who to believe when it comes to an autopsy.
Do you think there's really like an interest, like a... You guys would know better than me, but like an interest in an autopsy report, like for somebody to go one way or the other, like points, like
if they're in with the cops, totally.
The cops, I believe, will manipulate. Like, I distrust autopsies so much because the cops have been known to manipulate bodies at the scene of the crime. Like, they will move a body into the right way that looks nice. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it was. Oh my God, the Anne Marie Fahey case I've been listening to a podcast on where they moved her body to look more suitable. The guy had worked, he was a lawyer, and they moved her body so that it actually worked better with what the cops were doing to like get him out of the sentence that he needed. So it's just like, it's so skewed the way that people do that. Like, I don't know, the JonBenet thing is what I think of immediately, like they moved her body right away.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
well, that was a contaminated crime scene.
True. Yeah, with. But you know, I think cops contaminate crime scenes.
There's too. A select few medical examiners who I trust their opinion, and the one is what's her name, Dr. G, I think.
Oh, I
think
love she's Dr. from
California. Yeah, she's from California. She did the autopsy for Kaylee Anthony.
Yep.
And then I forget his name, but he does all these ones. He has like a birthmark on his head. He has like this weird accent. I forget his name, but if you saw him, you know who he is. He does a bunch of like re-examinations of like autopsy reports, and he comes up with like all these different theories. But those are like the only two that I believe. Everyone else, I'm like, I don't trust your opinion. What are your credentials? Better than mine, but I just host some podcast that gets like a couple of listens a week, but...
Yeah. Who was the guy? What is his name? I want to say Kendrick.
Yeah.
Kendrick.
The case?
I forget what his last name is. They actually found newspaper stuffed in his body and all of his organs were gone. That sounds like some kind of conspiracy thing, but it's 100% what happened.
Kendrick Johnson.
And that right there makes me 100% not trust.
And they couldn't tell you where his organs were. Like,
no clue. They lost them.
Yeah. So like shit like that happens. Them? No one knows.
Who stuffed him with?
When the funeral home got his body, they're like, the organs aren't here. And they're like, well, where are they? He's like, I don't know. We just got this body without the organs. And no one can say where the organs were.
It's one of the wackiest things ever. Like, and it's also, there's also zero information about it. They're just like, oh, yeah, we got him. this is what the family was told. And they're like, yeah, we got him this way. He had the newspapers in him. And they're like, I don't think that's not how that works. Like, it's very, very strange. But yeah, I'm distrustful.
Okay.
Of medical examiners.
Okay. Well, that's fair, because then if that's the case, that kind of fits in here.
Oh, cool.
Just because it's the case of the accidental drowning in a restricted area, it doesn't really make sense. It sounds like a lot of like easy way out kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah, I would love more pictures. Apparently the body, nobody disclosed how long the body was in the water. Actually, they might have. Oh, there's actually another part that I found in one source that apparently came from the family. Because they held a private press conference because they believe that there was foul play. Like, they didn't accept accidental drowning as the cause of death. They wholly believe that there was foul play. And they wanted a different team, a different investigator on their case, which never came to fruition.
Mm-hmm.
So they rejected that. They received on the day that Antonio's body was found, they received a quote mysterious photo of Antonio's body floating in the water.
What?
So I don't know on what medium they received that photo.
That's so such a vague.
It's very vague. And then the family's like, so here's this little bit of information and please respect our privacy. And they just leave us with these little nuggets of information.
I think that's interesting though, because if you think about it, I don't think bodies float immediately after death. Do they?
I think they do, because I feel like
they do.
Because that's why the mob ties the
absolutely.
The cement to their legs.
Absolutely, yeah. yeah. By all means, yeah. So, yeah, because also when you start decomposing, with the bacteria and everything, producing gases and everything, yeah, it pushes you to the surface anyway.
That sounds kind of fun, though. That sounds
what part of it?
The floating.
Oh, well, you won't be there to enjoy it.
Somebody will.
Be too dead to care.
We'll teach you how to float. No, it's going to scar the
shit out of somebody is what's going to happen if they find your floating body.
Good. At least they'll remember. It won't be like me. I'll be like, I don't think bodies float. I think they lay on the ground. As I'm like, I'm a corpse expert.
I'm like, excuse me, gravity.
Yeah.
Right, so I don't know, was this, Hotmail? Was this a text message? Was this, this is 2014, though, so I don't know. Y'all got iPhones, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, your girl doesn't. So, AirDrop?
I didn't know how to use AirDrop until, 3 weeks ago. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's true. That would be an easy way to... Oh, you guys both don't have iPhones.
Yeah, no, I have an Android.
Hell yeah, dude.
You can just get an airdrop from anyone.
Yeah.
Anytime, as long as they're in the proximity.
Yeah. Which is absolutely creepy. Ludicrous. Yeah.
But
yeah.
If that was the case, we don't even have to go there, but that means that the person would be in proximity of their home. But 2014, I don't think that was a thing. Maybe it was.
So. It may have been the early stages. But I feel like Snapchat was a thing, so it could have been on Snapchat. I don't know.
Okay. But nobody bothered to trace any sort of IP address. It was this person like that tech savvy too to set up a VPN and do all that shit.
To send one picture of their body that's already dead.
To taunt a family 2 weeks after the death and also sending it the day it was found. Was this before it was found? Or was it when it was found? And was reported to the family. Somebody sent a picture. Or were they there at the scene and then somebody sent the picture while they were there at the scene? Because I think that would be super creepy.
Or was it the guy that found the body and he was just
said, hey, I found the body.
He was just I would give you this information.
Hey, I found him. That'd be super fucked up.
Very weird.
Yeah. So there was also... thoughts that maybe, so aside from the, he was disoriented, whatever, you know, people were like, well, maybe he was in the gang. He fit a gang, you know, he could be a gang. The family was like, no, he's not in a gang. However, he was last seen wearing a purple leopard print hoodie with a black muscle shirt underneath it, khaki shorts, brown deck shoes. He has a tattoo on his left arm. So this is what kind of got me, that I was like, okay, maybe. He has a tattoo on his left arm of a clown-faced girl removing her shirt.
At 17?
He's 17 years old. Dude, listen, I never been to Texas, though, so I don't know.
I know. I think even for Texas, that's weird.
I don't know what it's like.
I've never been there either.
Yeah.
But...
dude, it might as well be Colombia. I have no idea.
It's basically the same.
Is it Peru? Like, it's...
Texas seems... But my mom would literally slit my throat if I got a tattoo like that. So that's very interesting that he has a curfew, but he can get a tattoo of a clown with taking off her shirt. You know what I mean?
Well, that's the tattoo true. Isn't hurting anybody. Just his image.
True. But still.
This is social image.
Is that a gang symbol?
Highly that's, doubt it.
That's like a very complicated gang symbol to have.
Somebody from this particular gang is going to come to each of our houses tonight and murder us.
Like, stop, fuck you, it is that. A gang.
Dude, I love when people prove me wrong, and I love when I find out that I'm wrong, so like, have at it.
Somebody will. Kalina will.
Kalina.
Kalina's, she lives in Ireland and she teaches us about everything. She, because I did a, we did a foreign episode last, oh yeah. We did a foreign episode and I was like, I don't know what kind of money they use there. Pounds? And she's like, no, you fucking idiot.
I identify with that though. I do.
Yeah.
I just do my best, dude. But... yeah, so in addition to that tattoo, he also has, yeah, that was on his left arm. Not sure where on his left arm, but he also has a tattoo of the outline of Texas. So, like, it said outline of Texas. Oh, like the state.
Wow. Were you thinking, like,
the skyline of the state of Texas.
Oh. The whole state skyline.
Since last night, I was like, yeah, skyline with the word Houston in the middle. Because it says Houston in the middle.
It actually goes around his whole body. The whole thing. I was thinking an outline like when you take notes. Like
God made us in the shape of Texas. No.
We're made for Texas.
I knew exactly what you were saying, so, or what you were intended to say.
Yeah. Well, I caught myself and was like, no, like, that's not what I meant. Yeah. So the state of Texas, so the outline of the state of Texas, like you would find on a map, like with lines on it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking maybe not a gang.
Yeah, no, I'm thinking not a gang either, but just poor choice overall. Like purple leopard print hoodie with a muscle tee underneath.
He's definitely got a style.
I think somebody's just embarrassed to say that he was wearing the muscle tee on top of it.
His parents were like, we don't want him to be remembered that way.
Oh. Black muscle tee underneath. So if you were to remove the leopard print hoodie, there was a black muscle tee underneath.
Underneath. You know someone from his family is going to come on, because it's always like that with the unknown ones on here.
Really?
That's happened to us like three
it's
times.
It's happened a couple times, yeah.
Where somebody's family member was like, yeah, that's not how they were. And we're like, oh my God.
I couldn't find any information on the kids. So I was like, I was trying to look into it and see if like.
No, you're absolutely like right. And I think people just get overly upset, which I understand.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, it's sensitive material for people that are involved. But I was trying to find out like, what's this guy's character like?
Yeah.
Like, who is this girlfriend? Like,
that's weird that there's not more info on
I think
her.
That yeah. happens a lot, though, too, with the unknown cases, especially if they're younger. Like, we just, like, they went to school, and that was it. That's all we know about them, so.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a little, you know, I think it's kind of unfair to the kid and to the family. That they just, like, they saw this case and they were like, yeah, homeboy foul in this restricted area. And, like, the teddy bear is stuffed in his pants.
That's weird.
No shoes. 2 miles from the crash site. What was he doing between 6 p.m. when he left and 4 a.m., 4:50, yeah, where 4:30 was he? When he crashed?
Do you think drugs? That's, like, that's not your refrigerator. But do you think, like...
Sure, drugs, but, like, to be that blatantly disrespectful about your curfew? Hold up, what day of the week was...
Valentine's Day 2014.
Mm-hmm. I'm about to, I'll tell you.
Here, I'll look.
No, dude, I'll get it first.
So...
I'm gonna do it.
Here's the thing, too, and I feel like we always come back to this. Did he have some kind of a mental break? Something that... Because he's 17, that's very, very perfect for the time.
I was fucked up at 17, dude.
It's like, especially for males, you're right at that cusp where schizophrenia is going to pop out, and it's like a great time. That's my default for these things. Like, it's a good early time.
I was thinking maybe it's more like a cop-out for this one.
It could be a cop-out, for sure.
I don't think that was it. It didn't sound... So there's no, like, background information. I feel like if he had any sort of, like, showing any signs of, you know, mentally unwell, that would be brought to the forefront of this. They'd be like, oh, well, he was struggling, so maybe. Because, like, the family's looking for closure.
Yeah.
But maybe they also aren't willing to accept the situation.
That something bad happened.
Which is every bit of fair.
Yeah.
Because they suspect foul play, and we're sticking to that. It's just, I don't know, man.
But I think... Sometimes families don't always see certain parts of people, you know? Like, it's very
easy. They see what they want to see.
It's easy for someone to say, oh, my son doesn't have a mental illness, or my son doesn't have a problem.
I see that on TV shows all the time, and it's super valid.
Yeah.
My
son would never do that. And then,
my clients say that about their dogs all the time. Like, my dog would never.
Not my dog.
My dog would never. And then they just go right ahead.
Yeah. Once you become, like, a parent or, like, or just anyone in your life that's important to you, I think you get blinded to it.
Oh, totally.
I mean, it's kind of a stretch for that. Even though, if you're, like, if you're in, like, a really big, like, a very active state of mania, like... Mm-hmm. At the time, like, that is I don't know. You can do
it
many
looks
things.
Different,
like, yeah.
Yeah,
you can do many different things
yeah,
at
you
that
can,
time.
You can lift a concrete building out of its foundation.
Yeah.
In a state of mania.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. You can also repaint a whole house in, like, 25 minutes.
Really?
Well, depends how big the house is.
I mean,
that's a question for Cliff.
True. Cliff probably could.
Yeah.
But I just, like, default to that sometimes because you don't know. But.
But what do we know?
But what do we know?
So that was, like, so the official is that he drowned. Like, that they're just leaving it at that.
He became disoriented. Yeah, they're sticking to he was disoriented after the accident. He wandered into this restricted area, and accidental drowning is the cause of death. Primary cause of death.
And what was what was his race? Was he black?
By his name, I would say that he is Hispanic.
What was his last name?
Saldivar.
Oh, well, that's why... That's why there's no information.
Because of...
Unfortunately.
Because of Yolanda.
Is that his mom's name?
No. No, where are you going?
No, I just mean because he's Hispanic. Those cases are so underreported on, you know what I mean? Like, not...
Yeah, absolutely. I was thinking the same thing last night when I was, like, looking into it. And I was like, fuck all. Like, he's not white.
Yeah, not that that's, you know, of course, not that that's an excuse for anything, but it just, that's, you know, it's, that's
what happens.
It makes a lot of sense that would be why.
Yeah, and they're like, maybe gang stuff. He's 17. And they're like, maybe, gang stuff.
Yeah, probably.
Right.
Yeah, probably gang stuff.
Because the one thing I was thinking, now whenever I hear of a, like, young man drowning type of case, I think of, like, the Smiley Face Killer series. Oh, yeah. Allegedly, But with the Smiley Face Killer series, it's always a white man, but that doesn't mean it could not be, you know, Hispanic or black or something. But that was another thing that I thought of when they said that he was found floating in a body of water with, like, no information as to how he got there. But I don't know.
Did you guys just solve it?
I'm very iffy on the Smiley Face Killer, so I'm not 100% on it.
I mean, it makes sense, and that was, like, the time.
Yeah. I mean, usually with the Smiley Face Killers, it's, like, college-age students, but if you're 17, you could look.
Close enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Tattoos.
Right, yeah. Right.
And he's, oh, that's weird.
February 14th, 2014 was a Friday night.
Ooh.
That's when the Smiley Face Killer would be out, because he's, like, on the prowl for men who are drunk and, like, disoriented.
Okay. Do we know what kind of vehicle he drove?
No, we know nothing. It's all theorized. It's not
it's
even,
all,
like
a mad... Not mad... it's just some kind of thing that these killer or... this killer or killers do, and then they leave a smiley face where they were. But they have a very specific demographic for, like, who they kill, which is
It's never been, like, proven that there's even is a smiley face killer or killers, but there's been, like, a lot of cases in college towns, which I imagine Houston is a college town, being a big city or whatever.
Being
but
Houston.
Yeah. And they would find, like, these men from colleges that would die in a body of water with, like, no explanation as to why they were in this body of water, how they got there. But, and there's a smiley face somewhere in the vicinity, like,
is
whether it's,
like,
graffitied or something.
Any information on, like, a talk screen on these people or any sort of...
Well, all of the college kids from the Smiley Face Killers, they all have, like, alcohol in the system because they're out at bars or something. And there might be some, like, you know, recreational drugs just because they're, like, partying and stuff. But, and their bodies usually aren't found for a couple of days, but his was found, like, the next day. But just a theory I'm throwing out there.
Interesting.
I was also thinking, too, wasn't this, like, pretty prime time for the bath salt?
Oh, bath salt days.
You're right.
The bath salt zombie things.
Yeah.
Because, like, I couldn't think of a drug, and then I was like, the bath salts, they got kind of wild. Like, I don't know why he would do that, why he would go into the water in a restricted area or
something.
Take a
bath,
but
bro.
He needs a little
bath. Like, have, like, superhuman strength and think that he can just
Get out or something.
Right, right.
But who
right.
let him in there?
Or he just got in. I don't know.
Bath salt thing is wild, but I probably wouldn't
it's
put
like
any of my eggs in that basket.
Yeah, it's a stretch.
Yeah, but I don't know where else to put. I feel like I would like to see an autopsy.
Yeah.
I want to see an autopsy. I want an interview with the girl that he was allegedly going to go see, because if he never got there because the teddy bear was in his crotch, like, was she concerned that he didn't show up? Like, there's a lot of unanswered questions.
Yeah.
And it was also, what, 4 a.m. when he called it, when his mom called him?
Well, she was calling and texting repeatedly, and then one source said that he called back, and then another source said that he answered a call. So, whichever that was, they got in contact around 4 o'clock.
So, the girlfriend had to have known either they were together for a long time and he didn't answer, or he never got there, which,
or
he
was trying to win her over
with the teddy bear in his crotch. He's like, guess what,
or he was like, come and get it.
Yeah, come and get the teddy bear.
He's like, do you know where the teddy bear is?
Or he was trying to get her into the water,
lure her with the teddy bear.
I feel like I don't know.
I feel like she would be talked about if she was anywhere near the scene.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like the most simple explanation is that he stayed out past curfew. Mm-hmm. Maybe he met up with this girl or he didn't, I don't know. But then he was driving home, got into a car accident, became disoriented from the car accident. Well, that doesn't explain why he took his shoes off. But
well, he could have felt... Maybe it didn't feel comfortable or something at the time.
Yeah.
Like,
Then, it, like, we don't have a top screen.
He could have just felt uncomfortable, and he's like, fuck it. Like, you know how the hypothermia cases where, that's what I'm thinking of, how they're they're like, I'm hot. Like, and then they take off all their clothes.
But they're actually freezing.
But they're freezing cold. Maybe this was something that he was like, I don't like the way my shoes feel now. Or, I don't know. Sure. You never know.
Yeah. There doesn't seem to be any, like, crucial damage from the... from the accident, though. I feel like they would be able to report if there was any sort of, like, spinal issue.
True.
To cause, like, a neurological issue like that, where he's like, the boat shoes don't feel nice anymore.
They don't feel good on my feet.
I don't know.
And the fact that he was so far away from his car, like, that's a long walk to go on.
Barefoot.
Yeah.
And they so they just left it there. He drowned.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
I don't.
Yeah.
That doesn't feel good.
Yeah. But there's a bunch of other Valentine's Day murders that are actually pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys want to run through some of the headlines with me?
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. Cool. So there was, there's one actually, the one I wanted to talk about this I'll go into a little bit more detail. The other ones I just... I was going to touch on. So, the case of Stacy Schoeck, S-C-H-O-E-C-K.
I don't think I've heard this one. Yeah.
But I just don't want to say the name wrong.
Oh, it's probably Schoeck, right?
Schoeck.
Wow. In Pennsylvania, I feel like it
would
be Dutch,
Schoeck. You're Dutch,
though,
right? No. You're
I'm German.
German, Pennsylvania, Dutch.
No. My dad just talks that way.
It's a lifestyle
that we are.
It's a lifestyle.
Yeah, we weren't born this way. My dad just lives that way.
He adopted it.
But if you're German and you're Pennsylvania Dutch,
basically.
All right, so
I would say Schoeck.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Oh,
Schoeck. She was 36 years old, and she was married to her fifth husband. Divorced four times. As far as I can tell, she was just divorced four times. Nobody has been deceased or passed away.
Right.
Her husband at the time, his name was Richard. This is the fifth husband. So she worked as an administrator at a medical office, and she was having an affair with somebody who I believe was also working in the office. So she was cheating on Richard. And so from what I can tell from every source, Richard Schoeck is a beautiful person.
Aww.
He's a hot air balloon enthusiast. Yeah, and I can't stop thinking about that. He was a hot air balloon enthusiast.
I'm gonna cry about that later, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
That makes me emotional.
Yeah, let me know if you do.
I will.
Yeah, thank you. And he really took Stacy's kids like under his wing. He didn't have any kids of his own, from what I can tell, and he was even. He was a den leader in a Cub Scout group.
Stop.
Yeah.
Oh,
for like the kids. Yeah. He was really involved with them. They would even call him like Daddy Richard.
Aww.
I knew somebody here was going to feel weird about
that
one.
I don't feel comfortable with that.
Okay. I knew somebody was going to feel weird about it. I think it's fine. I'm not sure
I'm
how
sure
old the
kids
were. I'm sure
it's fine. Yeah, if they're like little, like, but.
Yeah. But I will also say, though, this is somewhere further down in my notes, that she had claimed that Richard molested her children, and that was part of her motive for killing him. So, but that was squashed by the kids saying, like, how much they miss him since he's been dead. So here's what happened, though. Stacy tells Richard on Valentine's Day that she would like to, on their lunch breaks, meet in a park, and this is in Atlanta, meet in a park and exchange Valentine's Day cards. Super sweet.
Yeah.
It was really nice. Yeah, really nice.
Cute.
Yeah. So Richard, happy as a clam, really sweet, giving person, has a card for her, probably flowers, probably chocolate. Like, this guy's a real winner. Like, it sounds like he's really involved and cares.
Very nice.
Yeah. And he also had a $500,000 life insurance policy.
He's very nice.
He's so he's a real winner.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's so nice. Yeah. So Stacy had hired somebody to meet him at the park instead of her. Oh. So, yeah. So Richard is actually gunned down by a hitman that was hired.
Oh
by her coworker who knew this guy. He was a trainer. He was a fitness trainer, but was a hitman that went by the name Mr. Results.
Oh. He will give you the results.
Mr. Results.
He still had business cards.
Yeah, so Mr. Results, I don't know if he did it frequently. It sounds like he didn't, because obviously this was messy. Like Richard was gunned down, and then immediately arrests were made and confessions happened like ASAP. Like, it was just not like
maybe this was like his first hit job, but he picked that name to like start building a rep, and then it just did not work out.
Yeah, I like to think that,
I don't know why I felt bad about that. I was like, like, he had hopes and dreams, like now he's spending life in prison. Oh my god,
I want to think that the wife was like, you know what, I don't know anybody who's tough, and she just looked for the first like fitness person she could find, and she's like, oh, you work out, you could probably kill this guy. And he's like, yeah, I could.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, all you really have to do to kill a person is like be able to hold a firearm,
yeah,
point and shoot, like get close enough. Like, you can get close to people all the time.
We all could do it.
It's really, yeah. I actually had this conversation with my boss, oddly enough, like, how easy it would be to kill somebody, because we were talking about somebody who, you know, had a conviction for attempted murder. And I was, and, you know, he's like, but I don't think he's a bad guy. And I was like, listen, dude, like, I feel like murder is really easy. Like, if you go to shoot somebody, like, it's fine. Like, you can just do it. Mm-hmm. Attempted murder means that, like, he either wasn't totally committed, or he was set up, or, like, something happened where, like, he wasn't all in. And then he and I got into this whole debate about it, and he was like, no, that's not true. He's like, it's not that easy to kill somebody. And I just don't know where I stand on it at the end of the day. But, like, I feel like it's pretty easy. Because it's easy to get close to somebody, like, physically.
Yeah, you just
like,
got to know what you're doing.
I literally could, like, if I see somebody out here right now, outside. I could literally go out there and be like, hey, and start talking to them.
And kill them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. So, fitness trainer or not, Mr. Results did get the job done, but Stacey never saw that $500,000 life insurance policy. She paid her coworker who got Mr. Results, or she's paid $10,000. That's it.
That's a good deal for a hitman.
I know.
$1,000.
That's like the lowest that I would figure anybody would ever charge.
This is like not a lot of money to kill someone. It makes me so scared.
It's not a life-changing amount of money. No.
No. Like, that's not.
That is, that doesn't even touch my student loan debt interest.
No, it's a little penny. A little drop in the bucket.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nothing. Like, I want at least a 50% down payment for the house that I want. Like, I pick it without a thought in my head about money. Like, a 50% down payment, 90 acres. It could be a shack. I don't care, but I want.
I want enough money that I don't have to kill another person to sustain my lifestyle.
Girl, yes, dude. Absolutely.
Dream big.
You're absolutely correct with that one. I like it.
It's true, though.
Yeah. $10,000. So, obviously, it didn't go that well. Everybody has nothing but nice things to say about Richard, and I just think it's really sad that, like, he was a really nice guy, and he was present in everybody's lives, and he was, like, a truly caring person, and this fucking bitch, dude, I don't care, like, I am livid with Stacey. Like, I do not care. I was, like, fuming on my way over here. I went through a lot, actually, on my drive over here.
You had a really emotional drive over here.
No, I didn't, dude, stop, it's all good.
We can talk about it.
You don't have to.
Anna is the trained mental health professional. I am the half-assed trained mental health professional.
Well, this explains why Stacey went through four or five husbands, because she fucking sucks as a human
True.
Being.
Dude, she's an ungrateful. She was having an affair with somebody, too.
Not cool.
That's not
cool. On Valentine's Day. Mm-mm, of all
days. She was having like a 2-year-long affair, I think.
What's the point?
Leave just him.
Divorce.
Yeah. Yeah, she already got four divorces. What's another one?
Yo, literally. Her poor children, too.
Ugh. I know, they seem like they loved, they seem like I know them. I'm like, oh, I think they really loved him.
Well, it sounds like it on their interviews. It did,
yeah.
No, they love Daddy Richard.
Yeah, well, she also claimed that, like, that she needed to kill him because he molested one of her kids, and that was pretty quickly shot down by the kids. So yeah, there's a ton of information on that case, which is ridiculous because it's all laid out on paper. They confessed within, like, I don't know. I don't even know if they had 15 minutes. I don't know what the time frame was, but it sounds like
it is really open and shut case.
No, yeah, no bated breath, but like there's every article on it.
I hate it.
But I also have a few other titles I'm just going to run through with you guys really quick so we can just enjoy them. Yes. Since it's Valentine's Day. Well, of course, there was that massacre on Valentine's Day.
True.
A massacre. Let me see. There's one that's this one is titled just talking about, like, it's an article that touches on these different instances, crimes, if you will. A surgeon bought orchids for his wife but crushes her head instead.
What a difference.
I know. I thought the same thing. Dr. John Hamilton ordered an expensive bouquet of flowers for his wife, Susan, but she would never live to see them. Coming home between surgeries, he found his wife dead in a pool of her own blood. She had been strangled with two of his own neckties and had her skull beaten so badly that pieces of her brain were exposed.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Yeah.
By their friends' accounts, Susan and John apparently had a happy marriage, but as an investigation dug deeper, they found some suspicious clues that made Dr. Hamilton their prime suspect. There was a note that his wife wrote him on his Valentine's Day card that said, "I bought my cards 2 weeks ago, so I guess maybe they don't seem as appropriate now, but I do love you. Have a good day, Susan. That's it. That's all she wrote at the end. Apparently, he was making sordid calls with a stripper. Yeah, they found traces of blood and flesh in his car. Her jewelry was hidden in an underwear drawer, almost as if somebody wanted the police to think a robbery had taken place. So this dude's just getting real messy with it. And he's like, he like kills her and he's like, maybe a robbery.
Here's her jewelry.
Yeah, and he's like, actually just like a B&E maybe, and then like leaves a receipt for Costco like on top of her body or something and be like, I don't know, like maybe it was like, it was weird.
You gotta stick to one story, dude. Like, yeah, you gotta exactly plan it out.
Yeah, he didn't commit. So he like, but he like beat the absolute shit out of this one's like skull.
Intense.
Yeah, like he was really mad. He's just really unstable.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Well, she did sign that card pretty passive-aggressively.
That's true. Maybe she drove him to the brink by just being passive-aggressive, because that's the worst.
Susan.
She's like, I bought these cards 2 weeks ago when we were still happily married. As if, like, as if they're, you know, no longer happily married 2 weeks ago. Yeah. Have a good day, Susan. Enjoy your surgery, John.
I love a passive-aggressive move, but not enough to get my head bashed in.
No.
Yeah, no, I get real sweaty when I'm about to be, like, when I'm thinking about being passive-aggressive, I get nervous and sweaty.
I just bought a book on assertiveness, so I'm really,
Good for you.
Thank you.
What? Yeah. I mean, I still have my corpse book to finish, so, but...
I love an assertive Marissa.
An assertive, I know.
And you're like, no, you don't do that.
Stop.
You don't do that.
Stop it.
Get back.
Only assertive with Andy.
Well.
Let's not get too ahead of ourselves.
There's one where a Baptist missionary sent his wife to God.
Oh, God.
But that's just the title. That's not really what I think happened. I think he was a piece of shit. It wasn't like going to God because he didn't send his kids to God. So if you really thought it was the best place to go, wouldn't you send their kids there first?
To the whole family.
Yeah.
Little trip.
Yeah. And he didn't go to God.
Yeah.
Actually, maybe he did. Hang on. Actually, this one's really good.
What is it?
Is the one I sent you about David Luthold, or I'm sorry, Nathan Luthold.
Yeah, this is the guy, the minister or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, so in this guy's case, it took a jury 90 minutes to find him guilty. Yeah, it was a trip. That was another reason why I didn't really, like, use this one either, is because I was reading it, and it reads like a novel.
That's awesome.
But it doesn't, you know, in that sense, it doesn't bring a lot to the table. But let's talk about when investigators were looking through his phone and his web search history. There were searches about how to most effectively kill someone. Most effectively kill somebody.
Most effectively.
So let's get efficient with it, right?
Like, keep it. It's like, I don't have time to waste.
Effective and efficient. Those are all words that, like, I do personally like.
They're good words. Maybe not for murder or for murder. I don't know.
Maybe for murder.
Maybe, well, if you're not trying to get caught for murder.
I think efficient is to be done, you know, quickly, get it done.
Right.
Now, effective is for it to be done wholly. So how do we effectively...
you need to be effectively and efficient. Somebody.
Yeah.
Well, I do think that effective encompasses...
efficient.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, if you're efficient about it, doesn't necessarily mean you're effective. But if you are effective, in some sense, you are efficient because you're getting it done. You're painting the whole picture.
True.
Right? You're doing the color by number and you're hitting every single one.
True.
Yeah.
But if you're... nobody's going to listen to this conversation that we're having about this. They're going to be like... So they'll be like, why did they talk about that for... so long.
For 25 minutes.
I hate it.
It's why no one leaves us reviews anymore.
Yeah, true. Shh, don't say anything. They give me anxiety anyway. So.
I just want to know what everybody thinks of me.
They'll let you know.
Oh, they'll let you know.
They'll tell us. Oh, yeah. Fucking God. They usually do with guests.
Okay.
They're pretty, like, pretty active with guests. Really nice, though.
That's nice.
Always nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how to effectively kill somebody. How much poison a human body can hold. Or how much poison a human body could withstand.
Oh.
And how to quietly fire a 40 caliber Glock.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
Quiet.
So, and he... quietly. Sorry, get a silencer. Like, I literally don't know what to tell you. Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
This was a very... Yeah, it was a very wordy... search history.
Yeah, well, I mean, to use a whatever method of, I mean, we've all seen the movies, whatever method you want to use to kill somebody, it's pretty much there in black and white. But when you want to do so effectively, that's where you got to get a little descriptive. So
it's, you have true. To do it efficiently.
Yeah, do your research.
Yeah, yeah, so he quietly fires his... So he asked, you know, he Googled about the 40 caliber Glock, and that's the handgun that he had. and he used his children's college fund to pay his mistress hush money.
Hush money?
Yeah. The mistress was at the house often with the children, teaching them Lithuanian, allegedly.
Oh.
Lithuanian. Why would you ever need Lithuanian? I guess if they go on a mission.
If you go to... Oh, yeah, true. For missionaries.
Yeah, but, I mean, come on. I think... Oh, well. This title, this one was okay. Husband murders wife, stuffs pieces of her body in garbage bags, and then blames the police for everything. So he's, like, calling out the police, like, y'all are harassing me, and they're like, dude, you're, like, you know, your wife is dead, like, can we search your home? And he's like, stop harassing me, and, like, went on talk shows and was, like, talking about how the police in the area were just, like, absolutely god-awful. And then they finally, you know, searched. He's
got body parts.
Oh, yeah. And her body was just kind of in different places, had been moved a couple of times. I think it was originally at a park, and then he moved it somewhere when he found out they were going to search the park, so he moved it back to his house. And So that's really all I'm bringing to the table content-wise today. I still
that's
feel
amazing content.
I feel really bad for Richard Sheck, and I think Stacey is Stacey's a fucking bitch.
Well, besides the first story you told us, all of the other ones involved like scorned lovers or relationships, and it just goes to show you that your partner is the most likely person to kill you in
it's
your
true.
Life.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
It's true.
Yeah. As, well, do you have
keep that in mind for Valentine's Day?
Do you have like a statistic?
Well, they always investigate the husband and wife or boyfriend or girlfriend first.
It's like the first person that's interviewed. So that's probably them.
But I don't know the statistics, but I feel like it's a lot.
Yeah.
Oh. Let's see. Likelihood your partner will kill you.
Yay. I think about that sometimes.
About Cliff killing you?
Yeah. And then I also think sometimes, what if Andy snaps?
Ooh.
What if he snaps and he, like, bites me right in the jugular? I just think about
He's a sturdy dog. Dude.
I know. It could.
He's really sturdy. If he's a little bit in my way, I can't even.
That says that you're... where was it? Nearly half of all murdered women are killed by romantic partners.
Whoa.
Shocking. I'm surprised it's not more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, this is a nice article. Signs he will kill you. 10 relationship flags.
What the
fuck? Whoa!
What is that? Why is that an article?
All right, run me through the flags.
Yeah, let's do it.
This is like domestic violence, like humiliation.
Oh, God.
One.
Oh, God.
This is like one of those articles that each page you have to go to. Verbal insults.
Can you say that
and
again?
And then
I'm
an
sorry?
Ad popped up, so I'm not doing this anymore.
Domestic violence is not a joke. We should make that clear.
No. If you think your partner is going to kill you, if you have that, not like Marissa's paranoid thinking, but like...
Yeah, like if you actually think that your partner is going to kill you... There are places that can help you.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are.
Especially if your partner says that he could kill you or he wants to kill you, like not okay.
It's not a joke.
No.
There is... Oh, the National Domestic Violence Hotline is 1-800-799-7233.
Oh, my God. Thank you.
If you or somebody you know needs help, is in a situation that involves violence in the home, 1-800-799-7233.
Oh, my God. Thanks, Caitlin.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm happy to provide resources.
I think...
So nice.
What a nice Valentine's Day. What a way to wrap up the Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's important, though. It's important.
It is important.
1 in 4 women will find themselves in abusive relationships at some point in their lives.
It's true. It's scary.
Terrifying statistic. It's
very scary.
Yeah.
My mom, Barb, she did tell me if a man ever hit me, that if I killed him, she would be on my side. So...
Okay.
Thanks, Barb.
Barb will back us all up.
Yeah, I mean, if you know,
You have never met Barb, but she will back you up 1,000,000% for this.
I love that.
As she should.
She will. She'd be like, yeah, I know her. She could kill. It's fine.
I'll just sit Quinley on him. Tiny bitey dog can go get him.
There you go.
Why, she smells so small. She goes just for the arteries.
No.
She's nice and efficient.
She's very cute.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Caitlin.
Thanks, Caitlin.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. This is fun. This is fun.
And you'll be back while I'm out with the baby. So
the baby.
Have fun with that.
May 16th.
Nice. It's gonna be great. Nice.
And now...
I'm trying to get Cliff involved, too.
I think we should have another one with Cliff. Because I'm doing one with Cliff, and then I'm doing one with you, and then we can do one all together.
I love that.
I don't
think
you have to bend Cliff's arm too much. I think he'd be down for it.
No, Cliff's on like every episode inadvertently.
Yeah, Cliff likes to pop in every once in a while and just put like his 2 cents in about whatever we're talking about.
He's like, no,
dude, unprompted.
So actually, what the fuck?
We're like in the middle of a conversation. He pops in and starts like taking like his shirt off to get changed or something. Yeah, he's like, oh, you're talking about
getting naked in the background. He's like, hey, Anna.
That's awesome.
All right, well, we'll wrap it up here. thanks again to Caitlin. And my cat's like freaking out. Stay tuned for when she comes back in May. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Email us at butwhatdowenowpod@gmail.com. And we'll be back next week with another episode.
Yay. Thanks, Yay. Guys.
Thank you. What do we know? But what do we know? But what do we know?